Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Presentations by Harvard Business Review, narrated by James Edward Thomas. Publisher's note: this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material.
Preview. It takes more than personality and PowerPoint to give an effective presentation, but you can learn how. Whether you're presenting for the first time or you just need a refresher. This book walks you through the basic steps. Articulating a clear message, tailoring it to your audience, organizing your content, gathering relevant, persuasive data, choosing the right tools and visual aids, rehearsing and getting feedback, delivering your talk with clarity and confidence. The key to presenting. You have a message to communicate, and you've decided to give a presentation. You'll need to do some work to win people over to your way of thinking, but that's definitely not out of reach, even if you don't consider yourself a naturally gifted public speaker. No matter what form your presentation takes, whether it's a status report, a product demonstration, a sales pitch, or a strategy rollout, the key to presenting effectively is to know your goals, your audience, and yourself. That core idea informs all the principles in this book. Let's get right to them. Why give a presentation? If you're planning to present to a business audience, you probably want to inform, persuade, or sell. This may entail explaining new data, soliciting ideas or feedback to build consensus, asking people to take action, seeking help solving a problem, getting buy-in on an initiative. Are you trying to do one of those things or something else? Write down your purpose in a phrase as short as the ones listed above. Now look at what you wrote and ask whether you even need to give a presentation. Is that the best way to get the job done? For example, if the number of people you need to reach is quite small, perhaps a quick face-to-face chat with each of them would be more efficient. If the audience is larger, but the message is simple and you don't need feedback, an email might suffice. Sometimes, of course, those forms of communication are inadequate, and it's clear you'll need to give a presentation. If that's the case, you're ready to start working on yours. Hold on to that purpose phrase you wrote down a moment ago. You'll need it. Define your goal. An effective presentation begins with focused thinking. You'll need to figure out your primary aim, which usually involves getting people to understand something or take action. Your broad objective. Go back to that short phrase you wrote down earlier. Turn it into a crisp sentence that states your goal. Begin with "I want" and include your audience. Here are some examples. I want to inform my department about the new process for proposing new product ideas. I want my colleagues to help brainstorm ideas for the project we're about to start. I want to show people how well my team's new system works. I want to get other managers to sign on to a set of recommendations I've developed for our top executives. I want to give people in my group the tools they need to reach their targets this quarter. Your broad objective may be nothing like those, but state it just as succinctly. Anyone should be able to understand it without reading it twice. Your desired outcomes. Now it's time to get specific, not about what your presentation will include, that comes later, but about what results you want. Take, for example, this objective from the preceding list. I want to show people how well my team's new system works. You don't just want attendees to walk away impressed with the system. You seek outcomes. What are they? Maybe you need people to identify ways they can use the system in their daily work, or to take the first step toward implementation within 1 week. Or maybe you'd like them to troubleshoot obstacles and report back to you with their findings within 10 days. Whatever your desired outcomes, write them down in a list. There's no magic number, but be realistic. Fewer items are usually better. That way, you'll tighten your focus and avoid setting your own and your audience's expectations too high. Your measurement of success. With your broad objective and desired outcomes in hand, identify how you will measure whether you've met your goals. Do you expect to leave the presentation with ideas that audience members generated? Do you want attendees to complete a set of tasks by a certain deadline? Are you trying to measure soft data, such as enthusiasm and buy-in? How will you gauge those? Keep the metrics simple and easy to assess, accounting for what your audience can realistically produce. If you're looking for feedback, you might ask people to complete a brief form or online survey. If deliverables are part of the mix, provide a handout that lists those items, something physical that audience members can carry away with them and that you can easily send to people who missed the presentation. Know your audience. The better you understand your audience's goals and concerns, the more likely you are to achieve your objective and your desired outcomes, and the better able you will be to measure those successes. The audience, not the presenter, is the heart of any presentation. To figure out what makes it tick, answer these questions. Number 1. How big will the group be? Who will be absent? Are you expecting 5, 15, or 50 people? The size of the audience affects the type of presentation you'll give and the resources you'll need. See, identify your resources later in this book. Keep track of which people can't attend. Absent stakeholders are stakeholders nonetheless. You'll want to follow up with them afterward. Number 2. What roles do your audience members perform in the organization? To whom are they accountable? Having a basic understanding of their responsibilities will help you engage them. Consider why your message matters to them and how you can make their lives easier. You'll highlight those things when you present. Number 3. What does the audience already know? What do people need to know? Don't state the obvious, but give people enough background information to understand what you're saying and how it affects them. Number 4. What are people likely to assume? Which of those assumptions are correct and which incorrect? Anticipating your audience's assumptions helps you make better choices about how to present your content. If there's a misperception you need to correct, this might be the time to do it, gently. For example, if your audience believes that the new system you're proposing will take too much time and effort to learn, clearly explain how you'll help ease the transition with training sessions and extra technical support. Number 5. How well does the audience know you? If you don't already have strong relationships with the people in the room, you'll need to establish a rapport with them early on. For instance, you might open with an amusing anecdote about your own struggles with the old system you'd like to replace. Show that you share the group's frustrations with the way things are. Number 6. Will some attendees' goals conflict with others? If so, acknowledge that up front and explain how what you have to offer may help. Number 7. What types of presentations are your audience members accustomed to? Think about what's likely to get their attention, given what's worked in the past. Data, demonstrations, personal stories. If you're doing something that's new to them, find ways to make them comfortable with it. Talking to a group of number crunchers? Open with a relevant story to give your presentation greater personal meaning, but make it one that they can relate to. Number 8. Is someone requiring them to be there? Is that person you? This will affect how receptive people are to your message. You may need to overcome apathy or even hostility. Number 9. Will you or someone else hold them accountable for what happens during or after the presentation? Consult with the attendees' managers about the feedback or deliverables you'll be soliciting to make sure your goals align with theirs. Not every question here will be relevant to your presentation, and clearly other pertinent considerations exist. The point is not to write up answers to a bunch of questions in a handy book. It's to reflect on the human context in which you will deliver your message so you can tailor it to suit your audience's challenges and goals. Anticipating the needs and concerns of your audience helps you calibrate your mindset as you prepare and execute your presentation. Take the old adage about putting yourself in others' shoes to the next level. Put yourself inside their heads and behind their eyes. Imagine yourself sitting there witnessing what you have to say. Did you do that? Really do that? Okay, now you're ready to craft your message. Craft your message. Many presenters mistakenly assume that a great idea will speak for itself, as long as it comes in an appealing package. Packaging matters, no doubt, but your audience needs much more than that. Guide people through your logic, facts, and examples, but without bogging them down in details that don't pertain to them. You want them to arrive where you are, and ideally, enjoy getting there. So chart a clear path by following 3 basic steps. Step 1. Define your core message. What main point do you want people to remember when they walk away from the presentation? That's your core message. As with the phrase stating your purpose for presenting, it should be short and sweet. But test your assumptions. Have you really chosen the most critical message to articulate? Does it jibe with your objective and desired outcomes? See Define Your Goal earlier in this book. Make sure your answer to both questions is a resounding yes. Every part of your presentation should advance the message you select. Does that mean you need to keep repeating it? Of course not. But almost anything you say or show that doesn't support your main point may weaken it and undercut your goals. So keep a tight focus here. It will help you choose the right supporting material in step 2. Step 2. Identify relevant arguments and data. Every good presentation makes a case, and a strong case needs support. Back up each assertion with well-chosen facts and data. Statements made without evidence are merely opinions, and opinions alone don't move an audience. Give people reasons to share your views or adopt a course of action. Include only those facts and data that will persuade. Extraneous details distract listeners from what you want them to hear, process, and remember. If you're not sure about the value of a point, leave it out. Excluding the extraneous doesn't mean focusing only on cold, hard data. It's also important to connect emotionally. Be explicit about why your audience should care about your message. Tap into the anger or pain wrought by the status quo. After you've gathered material for your argument, step back and reflect. Will everyone in your audience be able to follow you? Or will you need to briefly define terms or provide a little more background to bring some people up to speed? Will your supporting content persuade your audience? What else might you need to make your case? Are you showing people why what you're saying should matter to them? Are you making their journey engaging? Step number 3. Organize the content. A well-organized presentation makes it easier for the audience to listen and for you to achieve your goals. Logically sequence your argument so that people can follow it from one point to the next. Let's return to the example discussed earlier. If you're proposing a new system, first briefly explain why the old one has to go and how the new one solves those problems. Then spell out how the new system works and how the audience can start reaping its benefits. In most cases, a presentation should have four parts: an opening, a description of the need or problem you're addressing, your proposed solution, and a call to action. The opening. Use a hook, a comment, relevant story, statement, or example to get your audience's attention. Look for ways to engage attendees right away. For instance, you might ask for a show of hands in response to a provocative question that sets up your topic. In addition to establishing a rapport, a strong opening also defines the purpose of your presentation, highlights what's in it for the audience, confirms your credibility, previews the main points very briefly. The need or problem. Keep this part of your presentation tight and focused so you'll have plenty of time to propose your solution. An effective statement of the need or problem spells out the main challenge you want to address with the audience's help, shows how that issue directly affects the audience, has a sense of urgency, reflects thoughtful input from others through employee surveys, for example, incorporates relative arguments, examples, and supporting material that sustain interest without distracting from the point. The solution. Now it's time to say how you think the problem should be solved or the need satisfied. You'll want to help audience members visualize the benefits of your solution. Phrase your solution in terms of their needs. Use a story, when possible, to illustrate the solution. Involve the audience in developing a path forward. Make sure the strength of your solution matches the challenge. Asking the audience for input. Figure out in advance when you'll ask people for input during your presentation. You may simply want to ensure they're with you as you lay out your argument, but you also may wish to draw on their knowledge to support your message. Empty questions aimed at the whole sweep of the room, "Is everybody following?" generally don't work. Most polite people will simply nod. Instead, directly address individuals. "Does that seem like the biggest problem with customer satisfaction, Maria, given your frontline perspective?" Asking audience members what they think is a great way to heed the pleasure principle. When people feel their voices and ideas are being heard, they're happy and more likely to open their minds to what they're hearing from you. Call to action. A good wrap-up has a strong call to action. These are the key ingredients. Reiterate the challenge and your solution. Recommend specific action. Obtain commitment or buy-in. Agree on assignments if appropriate. Explain what you'll be doing to follow up after the presentation. Identify your resources. Know exactly what resources you'll have at your disposal the day you present, so you can plan to make the most of them. These include the physical space you'll be in, the amount of time you'll get, and the equipment you'll have in the room. What's your venue like? If possible, visit the venue and scope out any limitations. Note where you'll be standing and how far away the most remote audience member will be. Decide whether you'll need a microphone to be heard. Also, assess the seating. People who have to stand through a presentation are more likely to leave early than those who have a chair. How much time will you have? Pace yourself so you can make your argument comfortably within the window you have. Factor in audience feedback and participation when you budget your time. Also, think about the time available to you after the presentation is over for informal chats feedback surveys, collection of deliverables, return visits, and so on. Often, you must fit your presentation into a timetable that someone else develops. For example, you may have 30 minutes to deliver a sales presentation to a buyer. In other instances, you control the timing. The following guidelines are helpful in both situations. Speak just long enough to convey your key message clearly and completely. It's better to make fewer points and make them well. If you don't have time to make a point clear or acceptable to your audience, omit it or save it for another presentation. Ending early is better than not completing the talk or rushing at the end. Plan what to skip if your time is cut short. What equipment will you use? If a particular tool enhances your content, make sure you can use it competently. Delays that occur because you can't work the equipment will annoy the audience and may throw you off your game. The next chapter of this book is about planning your visual aids. But before you turn to that, you'll need to know what tools you'll have handy. Paper, whiteboards, projectors, a laser pointer, video conferencing, or other possibilities. Catalog what's available and secure anything extra that you need. Also check that any network passwords you'll need to access files and internet connection or other software and devices are up to date. Test them out before the presentation to make sure logins will be seamless. Plan the visuals. The visuals are often what stick with people well after a presentation ends. Consider these research findings. People learn 75% of what they know visually, 13% through hearing, and 12% through smell. A picture is three times as effective in conveying information as words alone. Words and pictures together are six times as effective as words alone. So use visual aids to help your audience stay engaged, remember facts, and understand ideas, relationships, or physical layouts. You can also use them as cues that you're moving to a new topic. Remember, however, that when people are looking at a visual, they're not looking at you. That's why it's important to create visuals that they can process quickly. Choosing the appropriate media. You have many choices for your visuals, including PowerPoint, video, and paper handouts. When selecting your media, consider flexibility, cost, appropriateness for your presentation, and your comfort level with the format or technology. If you use handouts, avoid distributing them during the presentation. It detracts from what you're saying. Creating effective visuals. Not all visuals enhance a presentation. Put together a thick deck of boring slides, for example, and you'll inflict death by PowerPoint, something you've probably experienced as an audience member. Steer clear of the following traps, which will frustrate your audience or even put people to sleep. Having too many slides. Using complex, confusing visuals such as flowcharts with lots of boxes, arrows, feedback loops, and text. Packing your visuals border to border with dense text or too many images. Simply reading the text in your visuals aloud. To make your visuals more compelling, keep them simple. Use graphics, icons, and symbols to reinforce concepts. Key words, not full sentences. Only one concept and no more than six lines of text per slide or page. Only three to six ideas on each flip chart or whiteboard display. Color where possible, but not excessively. Pictures where feasible. Bullets, not numbers, for non-sequential items. All uppercase letters only for titles or acronyms. See what a difference it makes when you clear away the visual clutter. Now that you've planned your presentation, it's time to practice it. Practice your delivery. It feels great when you've finished creating a presentation. Indeed, many presenters feel so satisfied that they do nothing else until it's time to speak. But to prepare thoroughly, you must also rehearse what you're going to say and get yourself ready mentally so you're both polished and relaxed. Rehearsing your content. It's tough to identify all the holes, dull spots, and excessive details in your presentation just by reviewing your notes and slides. You need to assess how your presentation will look and sound to other people. The best way to do that is to practice before a test audience. If you can, rehearse in front of a group of colleagues or friends. Try to include people who are similar to your real audience in terms of their roles, assumptions, perspectives, and expertise. See Know Your Audience earlier in this book. Interact with the test audience as you would with your actual audience. Of course, time and other constraints may not permit you to rehearse with a live group. In that case, play back an audio or video recording of yourself. You'll find flaws you wouldn't have discovered otherwise. Even practicing aloud in front of a mirror gives you the chance to hear your own voice and see how you're coming across, though it's hard to deliver your talk and assess yourself at the same time, so it's no substitute for live feedback or a recording. Other tips to remember as you rehearse. Practice with the equipment you're planning to use. Use visual aids to reinforce your message, not to speak for you. Know your content well so you won't have your nose in your notes, but don't script yourself word for word. It'll sound memorized. Rehearse the entire presentation to see how it all hangs together. Use an expressive, conversational voice. Avoid jargon and other terms your audience may not know. Articulate responses to questions that people are likely to ask you. Focus on your tone. Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen during the presentation? Prepare for that possibility by mapping out how you'll move past it. Practice in the same room where you'll present if that venue is available. Preparing yourself mentally. Rehearsing your talk is one thing. Putting yourself in the right state of mind before the curtain opens is another, and just as important. To win the mental game, try these techniques right before the presentation. Visualize yourself giving a successful presentation. Repeat positive statements to yourself, such as, "I am relaxed and ready." Use deep breathing and tension-relieving exercises to reduce stress. Wear clothing that makes you feel comfortable, confident, and professional. Accept nervousness as natural. Don't try to counteract it with food, caffeine, drugs, or alcohol. Interact with audience members as they come into the room. Deliver your presentation. Once you're in the room with your audience, focus on engaging people and projecting confidence. Here are some suggestions that will help. Retain the expressive conversational tone you practiced in your rehearsal. Speak at a moderate pace. You'll sound nervous if you go too fast. You'll bore people if you go too slowly. Make sure everyone can hear you. If you have a microphone and sound system, test its effectiveness before you begin. Avoid watering down what you say with kind of and sort of. Make eye contact with audience members. Watch the audience for nonverbal cues and use your facial expressions to convey interest in people's reactions. Take a breath now and then. It helps you relax and reduces filler language such as and "er." Keeping your audience engaged. You'll probably confront one or more difficult audience members: the tuned out, the overloaded, or the just plain grumpy. Inattentive people often cross their legs, fidget in their seats, or look around the room more than usual. Here are some proven techniques for grabbing their attention. Change what you're doing. Pause, for example, or alter your tone of voice. Survey.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?